Can you hear me?
Yes.
Colossians chapter 3. Now I'm on. Good. All right. It's great to see you back tonight. It's good to see you here. This is a good crowd. This is thrilling to see, and I'm thankful for it. Thank you for your kindness to Mary and to me, and not just on this Sunday, but every time we've been here. We love being here at Grace Baptist. I think this church is remarkable, and I think it's a blessing the way the Lord has used this church. If Mary and I lived in Pampa, we'd be members of this church. That's right. In fact, if we lived 10 miles from Pampa, we'd be members of this church. And if I lived in Amarillo, we'd be members of Arden Road. But nonetheless, we love the church and we enjoy it. We love your pastor and his wife. And so we thank God for he and Susie and for all the kids. On my phone, when I have the pastor's name, it has their Pastor Kyle and then Susie, and then it's got all the kids list. It starts with Nathan and lists all the kids. And so when my phone gives me directions to their house here in Pampa, Siri, you know who Siri is? Siri is the lady that lives in my phone, and she doesn't just say, this is how you get to the Osfeld house. She says, this is the house of Pastor and Susie, and she names all the kids, and so that I'll know exactly where I'm going. And to me, that's just, it's a joy to hear. Just a joy to hear because we love the family, and we don't get to see them enough. I only get to see them when we're heading out to West Branch or back. And we've had them at the ranch once or two times. Two times. They've been to the ranch two times. He's not the pastor. The pastor is not close enough to the Lord to be at the ranch every year. He's kind of a two-year out of 15 Christian. You know what I'm talking about? It's like people that come to church every third Sunday. So that's what the pastor is like. But I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. And I think Hannah's doing fine, and I think Susie's doing fine, and
Colossians chapter 3.
Was that you, Pastor, that said that? I can't believe that. All right, but at any rate, we're praying for the pastor. Come see us when you can. I'm serious. I know it's a long way to Tennessee, but if you ever go through there, be sure and stop off and see us. And at West Branch is in Williams, Arizona, 60 miles south of the canyon. It is the nearest real town to the canyon. There's a couple settlements, but it's the nearest real town, seriously, in Arizona to the Grand Canyon. And we are very thankful for what God's done at West Branch. So if you get a chance to get out there, and by the way, let me know if you're going out there so I can tell the people there, and let me know if you stop in at the ranch. You know, sometimes there'll be a few hundred people on the ranch, and folks stop in to see it, and I don't even know they're there. Brother Dub, you've been there, haven't you? No, you haven't? You mean when you carry cows across Tennessee, you don't stop off at the ranch? See what you've created, Pastor? Even Brother Dub needs to be closer to the Lord. Okay, you got Colossians 3:21? Let's stand, shall we please, out of respect to the Scriptures, and read an interesting verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Do you see it? Let me read it one more time. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Father, help us to see what you've said tonight, and help us then by your grace to live in light of it, I pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. When the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, there's a couple of things we should know right out of the box. Number one, fathers represents parents. Now, it doesn't say fathers and mothers, but obviously if fathers shouldn't provoke their children to anger, neither should mom. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, so neither dad nor mom should provoke their children to anger. Number two, the word provoke, and you'd know this, the word provoke means incite. And so the verse is actually saying that fathers do at times incite, provoke their children to anger. And it says, don't do that lest they be discouraged. So not only do children become angry, but they become discouraged, or the word means to be disheartened. In other words, the idea that a child provoked to anger by his parents basically says, what's the use? They're disheartened. So in order to see this verse, let's get some background in the chapter. Will that be all right? In the chapter. Number one, in the chapter, it deals a lot with submission obedience. Now, that's not all that it deals with, but it deals with submission and obedience. If ye then be risen with Christ, the passage begins, or since you then have been risen with Christ. In other words, it's talking to people who are born again. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above and not those things which are here on this earth. So it deals with submission. Let me show you that in several places. All right, look down if you would at verse 5. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon this earth. And then it names the things we are to put to death. Now, if you're in Christ, you are to consider yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So that's obeying, see? Look down, if you would, at verse 18. Wives, submit. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love. If a husband doesn't love his wife, would he be disobedient? Amen. Okay, so husbands are to obey. Then look down at verse 20. Children, obey. And look at verse 22. The Bible says, servants, obey. So the chapter is dealing, in the most part, or for the most part, the chapter is dealing with obedience. In other words, I'm a husband, I should obey God and love my wife. Mary is a wife, she should obey God and live in submission. Children love the Lord, we hope, in your family, and so they should live in submission. And even if you are a servant, now I think in this case, it's talking about actual masters and slaves. But if you're a worker, you ought live at your job in submission. Now, is that easy? No, no. But it's what the passage is dealing with. So number one, it's dealing with the matter of submission, and all of us should live in submission. Number two, children do get angry. Passage says that. Children do get angry and they get disheartened. Have you ever seen a child at Walmart get angry with his dad or his mom? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a small child get angry or disheartened? So number two in the passage, children get angry. Number three, parents are the ones that take care of this. Or, I would say, parents are in control. Because the Bible says, dads, don't provoke your children to anger lest they be discouraged. So, if dads do provoke them, they're controlling it. And if they don't provoke them, they're controlling it. Let me say it this way. If a child gets angry at his dad, dad is at least partially responsible. Okay, so has this ever happened to you? You're at Walmart, and there's a child throwing a fit. He's angry at dad, or he's angry at mom, and he's throwing a fit. And you say, have you ever said this? Now, be honest. Have you ever said, I'd like to get a hold of that kid for about 3 minutes. Have you ever said that? Okay, you're wanting to get a hold of the wrong person. Because the child is not the one controlling this. Well, he shouldn't be. Obviously, in anger, he is. But it's about the parents. And number four, all of us are responsible to God. And you see that down in verse 22. Now look down at verse 22. It's talking to servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. That is, don't be a charlatan about it, a fake. Or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So, if a man is to obey his master, the reason is because of his responsibility to God. Now, look, kids are responsible to God to obey. That's true. Wives are responsible to God to submit. That's true. Husbands are responsible to God to love. That's true. Servants are responsible to God to obey. But in practical matters, parents are the one in the family that see to it that this is carried out. For example, if I said tonight, okay, children, I want you to obey your parents. And suppose every son or daughter in this room determined, by the grace of God, I'm going to obey my parents. So that's good. And I've often preached in services to teenagers about the matter of obedience, and that's good. But a teenager will obey parents if dad does right. A youngster will obey parents if mom does right. And basically, it's the responsibility of the parents. Now, I understand that we're all responsible to God. But in your home, if the kids don't behave, if they don't act right, if they're not in obedience, then in a sense, God is knocking on your door. You're saying this. Somebody says, yeah, but my kids are stubborn. Whose kids aren't? Now, really, think about it. Somebody came to my dad years ago and said, are any of your kids stubborn? And dad said, yes, I have a child. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I have a child in the four that is really, really a stubborn person. And then he said, the other three are worse. Okay, well, that's basically true. Aren't children stubborn? Or somebody says, well, my children just don't want to obey. Whose children do? Or, my children just won't listen. What child wants to? Or, my children don't care about doing what their parents ask or tell them to do. Well, what? That's what you have parents for. See, really, when you come down to it, it's all about parents. Here's a guy, and he's 17. And his mom comes to me and she says, he just won't listen to me. And it's true, he won't. And his dad comes to the pastor and says, he just won't listen to me. And it's true, he won't. And the dad says it's because he's so stubborn. And the mom says it's because he doesn't agree with us about anything. And then this 17-year-old joins the Marines. And when the sergeant says, stand up, does he? And when the sergeant says, make your bed, does he? And when the sergeant says, polish your shoes, does he? Well, yeah, but he's 17 and he doesn't want to do what anybody tells him to do, and he wants to live his own life, and he doesn't ever listen to anybody, and he doesn't want anybody running his life. That may be true, but that all changes when he joins the Marines. Now, listen to this. It is not the son that changed. He will. But it's not the son that changed, it's the leadership. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should become a Marine with your children. That's not the point. All I want you to see is that this really is about you. See, this whole matter of leadership is about you, and it's important for you to get a hold of this if you've got kids, okay? Three things. Number one, why do your kids get angry? Why do kids become discouraged with their parents? Why do they become angry? Well, think of all the answers we've heard. They don't understand. My kids don't obey me because they don't understand. Now, I'm sorry, but that just doesn't wash. Let me ask you a question. Can children obey when they don't understand, and have there been children on this planet who do obey when they didn't understand what their parents were saying? Is that true? Okay. So somebody says, well, he doesn't understand, therefore he doesn't obey. That's not the point here at all, because he may not understand, but he can still obey. Is it possible for somebody to understand but still disobey? You know anybody that understands everything? They've been to church. They've heard this many, many times. They know what's going on. If you say you shouldn't do that, they can give you chapter and verse. You know anybody who understands but doesn't obey? Sure. So the problem is not their understanding. Now, understanding is important, but that's not the problem. Number two, they don't agree. I don't know why we fall into this. My child, my 14-year-old, doesn't agree with our rules in our home. Okay, now I don't want to be mean, but let me answer this the way I think of it. All right, here we go. My child doesn't agree with the standards in my home. Here's the way I want to answer. So? What does that mean? He doesn't agree? In other words, do you agree with all speed limits? Okay, now look. What is this road out here, this main road that comes? What's the route number?
60.
Okay, 60. If it's legal to go 75 miles an hour on 60, which has side roads and stop signs and stop lights, that is a speed limit there, is it not? Okay. If it's legal to go 75 miles an hour on 60, then why in the name of common sense is it not legal to go 110 on I-40? There are no stop signs. There are no side roads. Well, you see, that's 110 is a bit much. Okay, 100 miles an hour. Well, you see, that's still a bit much. Okay, 90. If it's 75 on 60, why can't it be 90 on 40? Okay, so I'm going 90 miles an hour on 40. And a poor, unsuspecting, ill-trained Texas state trooper pulls me over. And he says, can I see your license and registration and proof of insurance? You say, Brother Rice, how do you know they ask all those questions? I've seen it on television. Okay, so he says, can I see your license and your insurance and proof of purchase or whatever? Okay, so we show it to him. He says, do you know how fast you're going? And I say, yeah, I was going 90. He says, do you know what the speed limit is? I say, yeah, I know what the speed limit is. The speed limit is 75. But that doesn't make any sense. It's 75 on 60, and it should be 90 on I-40. I don't agree with the state laws on the speed limits of I-40. You think the trooper would say, oh, my goodness, I didn't think of that. Well, you're right, Brother Rice. This is a ridiculous speed limit. Have at it. You think he would say that? I wish he would. That would be wonderful. But he's not going to say that. The deal is not agreeing. Number three, this is one of my favorites. Parents are overbearing. I love this one. Parents are overbearing. The parents tell the kids what to do, and the kids have to do it, and the parents don't explain, or they don't do it in love, or they don't buy the kids ice cream. They just say, you will do whatever, and they're overbearing. Now listen to me. Kids do not get angry or disheartened because of, are you listening? Overbearing parents. It's not the problem. Okay, well, somebody says, what then is the answer? Well, the answer is in verse 21. Well, excuse me, it'd be verse 20. We've already seen 21, haven't we? Okay. Let's look at verse 21 again, though, to be a help. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Okay, what's this in the context of? Look at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now look at me and listen to this. God has commanded your children to obey you in everything. You be sure that you let them do that. Maybe it'd be better if I said it this way. You be sure that you make them do that. A child becomes disheartened or even angry when he is not made to do what God tells him to do, and that's obey. See, we spend all this time with, well, but the child doesn't understand. That's not the question, does he obey? Well, the child doesn't agree. That's not the question, is it does he obey? Well, the child doesn't like it. The child thinks the parents are unfair or overbearing or not loving enough, or they don't buy ice cream often enough, or whatever, whatever, whatever. That's not the point. The question is, does the child obey? Period. That's the question. And when the child is allowed not to obey, he becomes disheartened. I had an English class when I was in high school. I was a junior. And I'm ashamed of this now, and it was terrible that I did this, but the teacher was an older lady. She was probably 40. She was an older lady when I was in high school. And she had no control over the class whatsoever. We actually had a guy, Larry, in the class that, just to prove he could do it, lit a cigarette in the back of the class. Now, I didn't smoke the cigarette because I guess he couldn't do that without her being wise enough to see that he was doing it. But he lit the cigarette so everybody could know, and he held it under the desk. And he did like that, you know, to disperse the smoke. She would say, do this, the class wouldn't do that. She would say, don't do this, the class wouldn't do that. Every week, is this bothering you people? You okay? Okay. Every week, he had to write an essay, a paper, usually about a page, you know, handwritten, a page long, or maybe a page and a half. So one week, I wrote what I thought of the teacher. That's terrible, I'm sorry, but I was wicked in those days. I didn't change my heart and life till I met Mary. So I was wicked in those days. So I wrote and I said, this class is terrible. The teacher has no control of it. She can't tell anybody what to do. And if she tells them what to do and they don't do it, she doesn't care anyway. And I said, it's just discouraging to come to this class. Well, I showed it to one of my friends en route to the class. Well, every week the teacher would have a couple of people read their papers. So somebody said, oh, Miss whatever her name was, and I can't remember, you should have Bill Rice read his paper. So I stood up in the class and I read the paper that said basically, the teacher is worthless. And I know that's, as you say, Brother Rice, did you actually do that? Yes, I did. Isn't that wrong? Yes, it is. Were you a wicked young man? Yes, I was, and I'm sorry. Have you ever apologized to this teacher? No, I haven't. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know where she went. And by the time I got sense in my head, she was gone. All right? Okay. Why was I so discouraged in the class? Because she didn't make kids do what they're supposed to do in an English class. Shut up, get your lesson, answer questions, behave yourself, or die. Are you following this? Okay. You know, I wasn't the only person in that class discouraged. The guy that lit the cigarette was discouraged. He was thinking, you know, I can do anything in this class. You say, well, wouldn't that be wonderful? No, it's an English class. You're not supposed to be able to do anything. Are you following this? And so I was discouraged. He was discouraged. We were discouraged. They were discouraged. There was a lady that was another teacher of mine, and her name was Miss Ham. And she was in band class, and she was a great lady. And she was a lady, and she was probably in her late 20s. I thought she was 50 years old, but she was probably in her late 20s, and she was about 5 feet tall, and she wasn't, forgive the expression, she wasn't fat, but she was built like a sergeant. And we had 100 kids in the band, and we'd be out on the football field, and we'd be practicing our maneuvers, you know, as we played our music and marching up and down the field. And Miss Happ spoke, you listened. And when she said, get back in line, you got back in line. And Miss Happ, she was a sergeant. She was a drill sergeant. Everybody in the band loved Miss Happ. Why? Because you knew exactly what you could do and what you couldn't do, and what you should do and what you should do. Your kids are the same way. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't make your kids mad because you allow them to disobey. Be certain that your kids obey, and be certain that your kids obey in everything. Obedience brings peace. Let me get you to turn just quickly to Proverbs 29. I love this. Proverbs chapter 29. And look at verse 17. There it is. Proverbs 29:17. You got it? Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. In other words, you control your child, and he'll give you rest. He'll bring delight. The word delight here is the word dainty. It's not a word that I feel comfortable as a man using, but here's the idea. The idea is it's in the afternoon, it's in the early fall, it's in Pampa, but it's 72 degrees. How many of you people like iced tea? You like iced tea, anybody? Okay. You're out on your back porch or you're on your front porch, you're out in the yard or someplace, and you have a glass of iced tea. I like it unsweetened, maybe you like it sweetened, but however you like it. And you're sitting there, and it's 72 degrees, and it's in the evening, and the sun is going down, and there is a beautiful Pampa sky. Have you ever seen one of these? Okay. So you're sitting there, and you're drinking that tea, and you go like this. You go, ah, this is great. That's a dainty. Maybe you can see it better if you're drinking hot tea, and you're a lady, and you hold your finger up when you're drinking it. And you're out, you know, and it's 72 degrees and the sky's beautiful, and you take a sip of your tea and you say, that was just precious. Okay, that's what the Bible says your children will bring to you if you see to it that they obey. That's the whole idea. See, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. See, lest they be discouraged. So, obedience brings peace. And one more thing, this is written to parents. It's all about dad. It's all about mom. It's all about parents. You go into one house and the kids are a mess. You go into one house and the kids are screaming. You go into one house and the teenagers are rebellion. You go into one house and the young adults are not doing what they know they should be doing. You go into another house and kids are helpful. You go into another house and kids are courteous. You go into another house and kids are polite. You go into another house and the kids are industrious. What's the difference? Now look at me and listen to this. You are. If your name is Dad, if your name is Mom, you're the difference. I remember once in El Paso, Texas, when Will was about four, this is our son, and we worked and worked on Will saying ma'am and sir. Okay. He didn't say either one naturally. He used the word Y-E-A-H. Here's the way teenagers pronounce it. Mm. That's all they say, just like that. All right. So Will said, yeah, Y-E-A-H. So I worked and worked on Will to get him to say yes. And look, no four-year-old says yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, because he just thought of saying it, does he? Okay. So if a four-year-old says yes, sir, or yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, what do you know? What do you know automatically if a four-year-old says ma'am or sir? He's got parents. You following this? Okay. So this was after the service, and we went into a home of a dear lady who had fixed refreshments for the pastor, his wife, and Mary and I, and Will was the only child we had at the time. So into this home, and the hostess said something to Will, and he answered by saying, yes, ma'am. And she actually said this. I will never forget this. She said, oh, my goodness, you're not one of those kinds, are you? You don't have to ma'am me. All right, now look, it's all right for her not to want to be ma'amed. I was hoping she'd be maimed, but it's all right for her not to want to have a child say ma'am. That's okay. But she should know that if the child does say it, it's because of his parents. So don't say anything to the poor kid. Come to me. And so, you know, Brother Bill, I think it's really terrible that your boy says yes, ma'am. Now, why, you know why she didn't do that? because I wasn't four. And I wasn't a little kid. You say, well, Brother Rice, what would you have done if she'd said that? You went on seriously. I would have said, well, ma'am, I'm trying to teach my son just respect and manners. And so in our home, we ask that he always say, yes, ma'am, or yes, please, or yes, sir, or no, thank you. And that's why he did it. Now, I think that would make sense to her, but you wonder if somebody sees a child act a certain way and doesn't think it relates to the parents. Okay, so let me give you some examples. Get up in the morning. You know, Susan is so hard to get up in the morning. She's a late sleeper. She's a hard sleeper. She's just not a morning person. How old is Susan? She's 7. And you know, she's just not a morning person. You ought to change that. And you can. Make your bed. Let me ask you a question. If a child is 8 and 4 days in a row you tell him to make his bed because he hasn't made it, don't you think he would catch on to the fact at 8 that he should make his bed? Okay, so if you hassle him about it for 4 days in a row, he's going to get angry and disheartened. So don't hassle him about it. Just say, make your bed or the sky's going to fall. I'm serious. You make your bed. Son, make your bed. Okay, so what if he doesn't make his bed? Then he's disobedient and you are in part at fault. He's not making his bed because you are not demanding that he do what God says that he do, and what God says that he do is obey his parents. Is this making sense? Amen. See, okay. Brush your teeth. Now look, I know things like brushing your teeth and taking a bath or combing your hair. I know when kids are, especially when they're younger, it can be a daily request on your part. I understand that. But at some point, shouldn't your child have the honor of being able to remember to brush his own teeth? What would you think? And I'm serious about this. I'm 73. What would you think if Mary said to me, Bill, have you brushed your teeth today? Wouldn't that be a little bit disconcerting? In fact, she did say that to me yesterday. But the point is, wouldn't it be a little upsetting if, Bill, you need to wear a tie to church tonight? Okay, well, she doesn't do that, and she doesn't need to do that. Why not? Because she trained me years ago to brush my teeth and wear a tie. You following this? How do you think it makes a 9-year-old feel when you don't give him the responsibility of remembering things like making his bed or brushing his teeth? You think he feels great? Do you think your child knows that you want him to brush his teeth or to make his bed? Do you think that? Yeah. Okay, then how come you have to tell him every day? He knows what you know. You're just badgering the poor kid. Have you ever seen a parent like this? I've told you and told you and told you and told you. You just won't listen to me. I have told you and told you. Why don't you listen to me? Well, he doesn't listen to you because he doesn't have to. That's exactly right. Have you ever heard this one? Mommy only speaks once. I'm not going to tell you again to make up your bed. I told you yesterday. I told you Monday. I told you Tuesday. I told you Wednesday. Mom only speaks once. Make up your bed. It's a joke. Right. Isn't it? Okay. Then see to it that the kid does what he's supposed to do in obeying Dad and Mom. And when you do, it will bring to your family and to your home and to your life and to your dear sweet child peace. See, it amazes me the things we fret and fuss over and worry about and the raucous atmosphere that we create just because kids don't obey. And if kids don't obey, isn't everybody on edge? Isn't everybody? Guy brings his 6-year-old up to me after the service. And he says, shake hands with Brother Bill. And the kid does it. And he says, come on, shake hands with Brother Bill. Does the dad feel uncomfortable now at this point? Do I? Sure I do. I mean, I feel sorry for the kid. How hard is it to shake hands? Well, you say, yeah, but he told him to shake hands and he wouldn't shake hands. That's the point. Go home, sit down with your kids, explain that when he's supposed to shake hands with brother whoever, he shakes hands with brother whoever, show him how to do it, explain to him how to do it, and then tell him, now I want you to shake hands with let's say, Pastor Osvelt tonight. When Pastor Osvelt comes in, I want you to stand on the pew so you can reach his hand, and I want you to shake hands with Pastor Osvelt. And if you don't, when you get home, the sky is going to fall. You shouldn't be feeling nervous. The kids should be. See, shake hands with Brother Bill. The kid's not feeling nervous. The kid is disheartened because he's not doing what he's told to do. You see this? So just see to it that they do what they're supposed to do. You'll love them for it. They'll love you for it. There'll be peace in the home. Everybody can enjoy everything. Why have a screaming, hollering fit every morning because your kids don't get up? Why holler and throw things because your kids don't make their beds? Come on. You are a parent. See to it that your children obey as God has told them to do so that they won't be discouraged or disheartened. Isn't this a wonderful verse? Amen. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So don't do it. Don't do it. Work on obedience with your children. Can you make your children be godly? Well, I suppose no. Can you make your children be talented? Well, I would suppose no. Can you make your children always be happy? Well, I suppose the answer to that is no. But you can make sure that your kids obey. And when they do, everything else will fall into line as it should. Let's bow for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Could I ask everybody to sit up good and straight again? We won't have any music for a few moments. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. Now, I know the message tonight's been narrow because it's been aimed at we parents, and I know that. And so if you're a son or a daughter or a cousin or an aunt, you may feel left out. But it's important that we parents take to heart what God has said to both our children and to us. I'm going to ask Pastor just to look with me if you would. Nobody else will. You're not going to be embarrassed. You know that. I'm not going to point you out or twist your arm or embarrass you. Let me ask you a couple of questions. I wonder if there are men here tonight and you'd say, you know, Brother Bill, in looking at Colossians 3:21, I would have to say I've given my child or my children reason to be angry or disheartened, discouraged. But I see what God's saying, and I want, by the grace of God, I want with God's help to be the kind of dad that demands obedience from my children and sees obedience from my children and therefore has peace in my family. That's what I want to work toward. And you'd say, Brother Rice and Brother Osvelt, would you pray with me and for me, please? Would you slip a hand up where you're seated, just men? God bless you, sir. God bless you. Yes, any others? Any other men? Okay, how many ladies would say the same thing? Brother Rice, as we look tonight at Colossians 3:21, God spoke to my heart about not provoking my child or my children to anger so that they would be discouraged. I can see I need to demand obedience, and I need to train for obedience. And with God's help and by God's grace, I just want to tell the Lord tonight that's a change I want to make in my heart and life. I'm a mom, and God's spoken to me about this. Would you slip a hand up where you're seated? Yes, may God bless you. Yes, ladies. Yes, may God bless you. Any others? Any others at all? Okay, you want to look this way? I'm going to ask us to pray in a minute, and we'll just pray where we are and ask God's help. But let me just say this. Look, Don't feel overwhelmed. You can be the parent God would have you to be. Have you ever thought of this? The Bible says, Bill doesn't use my name, but it says husbands. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know how I'm supposed to love Mary? Just like Christ loves me. Okay, do you think that within me, I have the ability to obey God's command in loving Mary within myself? I don't. I'm just a man. I can't love as Christ did. Okay, but Christ can love as Christ did. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, He lives in me. And so if I will give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus, I can do things that only God can do when He does them through me. Does that make sense? All right, so the deal is you come to a place in your life and you say, look, I am not the smartest husband. I'm not the smartest wife. We talked about this at the house the other day. Nothing makes me feel more inadequate than being a husband or a father. Wouldn't it be great if I were brilliant enough to be a good husband? Yeah, it would be, but I'm not. Wouldn't it be great if I were brilliant enough to be a great father? Yeah, it would be, but I'm not. But here's the wonderful truth. Mortify, put to death those sins in your life. Put God first. Trust Him to do in and through you what you can't do for yourself. Can you get you to heaven? No. But are you on your way to heaven? Yes, because of what Christ has done in you. See, can I be the husband I should be? No. But because Christ is in me, I can do what God asked me to do. Bob Jones Sr., who was an evangelist in the last century, used to say, back of God's commands, He puts omnipotence. I love that. In other words, whenever God tells you to do something, He'll give you the power to do it. So walk out of this place tonight saying, I can't have kids that do right. I can't have kids that obey. And if you run into a snag, and you will, get help. See? Call a pastor up. Call some person that loves the Lord and you up and say, hey, here's what I'm facing with my 9-year-old. Tell me exactly what I should get help, because you can get help. Mary and I remember when we were first married, you know, we asked people. People had good kids. We'd say, how'd you do that? And we got help. You can do it. Let's bow for prayer. Those of you that raise your hand, don't listen to my prayer. Just pray where you are and tell the Lord, I want to be the parent you'd have me to be, and help me to be it. And I'll pray for us all, and then the pastor will come and dismiss the service appropriately. Father, I think of these ladies, I think maybe 5 ladies who raised their hands saying, I'd like to be the kind of parent that doesn't discourage or anger my child. So help me with that. And I ask that you'll do that and help us to accept nothing short of obedience. Help us as parents to do that. And then I think of these men. I think there were 2 that raised a hand saying, I want to be the kind of father you would have me to be. So I pray for these men and these ladies. I don't know the specific needs, but you do. And help us to leave remembering that you've said to our children, obey your parents in all things because this pleases the Lord. And help us to remember that you said, and fathers, provoke not. Don't stir up. Don't incite in your children anger, lest they become discouraged or disheartened. And may we live in light of this simple but wonderful verse, I pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
All right.